Welcome back. We are on Daf Hey today. The Gemara on Daf Dalam Rebbe's was bringing the Shita of Rebbe. We're trying to figure out who is the opinion that holds that when the Baal Bayis places it from his yad to the yad of the Ani, there's an Isser of Hotzatz Akir V'Anacha. There's no need for Makom Dalad Dalad according to that opinion, because the yad is in Dalad Dalad, not the Baal Bayis' hand, not the Ani's hand. So it must be that you don't need Makom Dalad Dalad when it comes to both the Akir and the Hanacha. So who's the opinion who holds such a way? The Gemara had suggested last that it was Rebbe. The Gemara brought Rice in the name of Rebbe, that when an object is thrown from Rishis Rabbim to another Rishis Rabbim, and it passes over a Rishis Yachid in between, you're chayav for the entry into Rishis Yachid, and then the exit from Rishis Yachid to the second Rishis Rabbim. So we see that clearly nothing has dropped, it's in the airspace, and yet we view that as a Hanacha, as an Akir and a Hanacha, so you don't need a Hanacha Mamish, and certainly you don't need a Dalad Dalad Hanacha either. That's what Gemara had last suggested. But then the Gemara says that on the very last line of Dalad Omer Beis, Baha Itmar La Rabu Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, both of them say, Lo Mechai Rebbe Ela Bershus HaYachid Mikora De Amrinan Beisa Keman Dimal Yadam. That when Rebbe says in this scenario of Rishus Rabim to Rishus HaYachid, to Rishis Rabbim, that you throw through, that you're chayiv, it's only in a situation where the Rishis Yachid has a roof, where it's enclosed. When it's enclosed, Rashi explains, Keman demali davar sasim mikol tzad, it's completely enclosed from every end, from the top, the bottom, the left, right, and front, and back. Havi kamali chafaitzim ad gagot, as if, we view it as if, halachically, it's full with objects from the floor into the ceiling. And Rashi explains further, de'ein avir o chashiv avir, the airspace is not considered airspace, therefore, kol ha-nizrak l'socho have kimuna. But that's only true if the Rishis HaYachid has a roof. But if there is no roof and it's being thrown over, that is not considered munach according to Rebbe. Says the Gemara further, aval she'ena makor, if it's not covered low, that's not going to be chayiv according to Rebbe. So the Gemara says, no, v'chi teimu hachanami b'makora. Maybe we're talking about a situation where the Rishis HaYachid is where it's there's a covering, there's a makora, there's a covering, and that's why even Rebbe would agree that can me shemunach dami. It only makes sense on tinach b'Rishis HaYachid. That makes sense for the Rishis HaYachid that when it's covered up, that's considered as if it's, even though it's in the airspace, it's as if it's on the floor. But the Rishis HaRabim, the Ani is standing Rishis HaRabim there. So by Rishis HaRabim, when it comes to a covered Rishis HaRabim, a ceiling on Rishis HaRabim, a roof on Rishis HaRabim, that's not called Rishis HaRabim anywhere. And the Gemara explains how do we know this. Hatinach b'Rishis HaYachid. But b'mekora, mekora. But if it's a enclosed Rishis HaYachid, so that's when Rebbe says it's din. But b'Rishis HaRabim mekora mi chayiv. Is one chayiv for throwing something, for walking in a Rishis HaRabim that has a ceiling to it? V'ha merav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rabbi Abba amar Rav Huna amar Rav ha-mavir chayifetz dalat amos b'Rishis HaRabim mekora. A person who carries something dalat amos b'Rishis HaRabim, even though normally it's chayiv for carrying when it's covered with Rishis HaRabim mekora, the Gemara says, he's actually putter. We always look to the Mishkan and what took place in the Midbar. They would travel in the Midbar. That was the Rishis HaRabim of Bnei Israel traveling in the Midbar. There was no cover. There was no roof. There was no ceiling. So therefore, since we had, if we were to have a Rishis HaRabim with a ceiling, that would not be a halachic Rishis HaRabim because it's not similar to the one that existed in the Midbar. So either way, we go back and say the Rebbe is not the one who holds you don't need Dalad Adal. Rebbe does require Dalad Adal. It's just that when you throw through a Rishis HaYachid that has a covering on it, so then that's viewed as Kimunach Dami. But if there's no cover, it doesn't work. And certainly Rishis HaRabim, where it has to be a case of no cover, so you certainly would require Dalad Adal for Rebbe. So go back to the drawing board and figure out who authored the Mishnah, who is one who holds you don't need Dalad Adal when it comes to both the Akira and the Hanach. So the Gemara explains, Ela Amar Bizeira HaMani, who is it? It's none other than the Acherim. The Sani Acherim Omim, the Acherim explain, Amar Bimkomo V'Kibel Chayiv. Let's say you have a guy throwing, you have a quarterback. The quarterback's throwing, and the guy receiving, it just stands still. The receiver stands still, he doesn't move, and just the quarterback throws it mamish right into his hand, it drops. The din is the Zorik is Chayiv because he did both the Akira and he did the Hanacha. The receiver didn't do a thing, he just stood there like a statue. But if the Gemara says, if the receiver got out of his place, and as Rashi explains, he ran to catch it, he ran to catch the football, then he caught the football, then the Zorik is Pater. Why is he Pater? Because since the receiver was moving to catch it, the receiver who is the one who did the Anacha. So you have the Akira by the Zorik, the Anacha by the Mekabel, then you're Pater. The Gemara is being learned from the first line in the Braisa, though. Amad bimkomo, if the receiver stands still, stationary, the kibon, he catches it, then the zorek is chayv. Why? Haba inan hanacha, gabi makom dalad vleka. Don't you need that when you throw something, when it lands, when there's a hanacha, you need to land in a place that's dalad adalad, and the receiver's hands are not dalad adalad, ela shmamina, lo ba'inan makom arba. You don't need makom arba. And that's how the Gemara concludes. Acherim is they are the opinion of that you don't need Malkum Dalal Adalat. But the Gemara says not true. V'Dilma, it's a case Hanachu Dilo Ba'inan. Maybe the Hanacha doesn't require Dalal Adalat, but maybe the Akira Ba'inan, maybe the Akira from where it starts from, does require Dalal Adalat. And not only that, maybe the Hanacha Nami, maybe the Hanacha was a case where the receiver caught it with Dalal Adalat. Duma de Pashit Kanfe Vikibli. Maybe he extended his shirt out and caught in his shirt, which is Dalad Adalad. So maybe you do need Dalad on both the Akira and the Anacha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Masisin Kigon Shekibla Betraskal. It's a case where there's a Traskal, Vihiniach Agabi Traskal. It's a case where they change a gear here. It really should be Kigon She, Anami Kigon, they took out the word Traskal, She Akrami Traskal. Where maybe the quarterback used a basket, Traskal's a basket. A dalad basket to throw the ball, and then the receiver caught it in another basket, so maybe it's dalad adalad in both the Akira end and the Anacha end, so there is no raya. The Gemara says, wait a second. V'hayado katani, how could you now establish that Bryce is a case where he's holding a traskel, where he's holding a basket? The Bryce clearly states he was in yado, he was catching it in his hand. The Gemara says, tani traskel shibi yado. It's a case where a traskel that's in his hand, but there's a basket, and the basket is dalad adalad. That's why there's a chiv, because Akira v'Anacha. So there is still no raya that anyone holds that you don't need makom dalad adalad. And the Gemara says further, wait a second. If you're going to establish this braisa above of the Acherim, that's a case where he's holding on to a basket, hatinach traskel b'shus yachal. This makes sense. When the Baal Bais is holding a traskel basket, when he's in his house, you can have a rishis yachid that's within another rishis yachid. So you can have that the basket itself is rishis yachid, even though it's in the general domain of a house, which is also rishis yachid. But el traskel should be rishis rabin, that's a rishis yachid. The person is holding a rishis yachid doesn't have to only be a domain of a location. Even a basket could have a din of a rishis yachid. So if an ani who's standing in Rosh Hashanah is holding a Rosh Hashanah basket, that basket, where it falls into, is a Rosh Hashanah itself. So in essence, when the Baal Bais gives it to the basket, places it in the basket of the ani, that's really Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And we're trying to figure out a case which Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara says, so maybe we don't hold that way. Maybe we hold that a Rosh Hashanah in Rosh Hashanah is a Rosh Hashanah still. And maybe if the ani holds the basket, it's still considered Rosh Hashanah. But then that's a problem, because Leimal Deloke Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, does that mean we're going against Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Because he clearly states that a Rosh Hashanah in a Rosh Hashanah becomes a Rosh Hashanah still. So the Tanya Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer not Karnev Rosh Hashanah Uberosho Shraskal. You have a big beam you place in the Rosh Hashanah, and on the top of it you have a little basket. The Zark Benacha Gabav Chayv. If you throw and something lands on top of it, you are chayv for doing so. Rashi explains Venach Al. Again, it's a case where Zark Mirshus Rabim. You're standing in Mirshus Rabim. If you throw something and you get it into the basket on top of that pole here, you're chayv. Why are you chayv? Says Rashi, the Afagav Dilamat Lohavia Kana Rachav Dalad. Holvid Perosha Arba Armin Good Achis. He explains it's Rashus Yachid. In other words, this basket, even though it's in the context of Rosh Hashanah, it takes on the din of Rosh Hashanah. So it's considered thrown from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So now we're going to say the same thing, that maybe by the case of the Ani, when he holds the basket, we don't view it as Rosh Hashanah, we view it as Rosh Hashanah. That would be against the Shita of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and very unlikely. So the Gemara says, because the E, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Pasha Ba'abai says Yad Luchutz, if the Baal Bais extends his hand outside, v'nasan l'toch yado sh'ani, places it in the hand of the ani, amai chayv, why is he chayv? Isn't that mirushis ha'yachid, the rishis ha'yachid kamafik? Rishis ha'yachid, to rishis ha'yachid, is not a chayv daraisa. So the Gemara says, afilu tamer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would agree to this case, ha'asim l'mala miyud, ha'achal l'mata miyud, meaning what? When you have a basket that's on top of the rod, on top of the beam, that we already learned that rishis ha'rabim only goes 10 tefachamai. So if that basket is above 10 tefachim, where it's not really Rosh Hashanah, so then the basket takes on Rosh Hashanah. But here the situation is where the Ani is holding the basket below 10 Tvachim. It's still within the vicinity of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So then it does take on the nature of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Gemara says, Sakashia le the Rabbi Yebo, mi katani traska shabiyada. But does it still say in the Brice we're talking about a basket? Hayado katani, it says he's holding his hand. He's using a hand, not using a basket. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rabbi Yebo, kigon shishil shayada lamata mi gimel vikibla. The situation where he's lowering his hand within three tvachim to the ground. But isn't his hand still less than dala dala? How come it helps by putting it close to the ground? So Rashi explains here, when it's lamata migimel, davya kikarka, that your hand now, when it's so low, so close to the ground, it's considered an extension of the ground, and then your hand becomes part of the ground, and that, of course, is dalad al dalad. So that's why you're chayv in that case. But the Gemara says, v'ha omekatanim, but doesn't say that he was standing up, not bending down. Gemara says, b'shocha, he was standing, but he was bending down while standing. He wasn't sitting in the ground. He was bending down, but still considered an amida. Ibai seima, alternatively, beguma, he was standing in the ditch. So he was standing up, but the ditch was so deep that his hand, when he placed it out to the Ba'abayis, the Ani's hand was aligned with the karka. That's another situation. Or third answer is Ibai Seima Binanis. We're talking about a person who's very short. So then, even though he's standing on the regular ground, since he's so close, his hand is within three tefachim of the ground. So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Ich Baltani Lashmin and Kohani. The Brisa went to such great extent to teach us these three very unlikely circumstances. We're only talking about a nanas. We're only talking about a guy standing in a guma. We're talking about a guy who's bending down his hand so close to the ground. So Ela Amar Rava, Rava says, Yada Shal Adam Chashuva Lo Kedala Dalim. V'chein Ki Asa Rabban Amar Rav Yochanan Yada Shal Adam Chashuva Lo Kedala Dalim. We conclude from all this that even though physically a person's hand is not dalad al dalad, halachically we view it, it's considered as if it is dalad dalad, and therefore everyone requires makom al dalad dalad. It's just that the yad is considered kedalad al dalad. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Elai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zark, Chayfetz, Venach, Besoch, Yadu Shechaver. You throw an object and it falls mamish in the hand of someone else. The Zark is Chay because he did the Akira, he did the Hanacha. So my Kamash v'lam Mutzachid this year, Yadu Shechadim Chashuvalo. Kedal adal. We learn from here that the hand of a person is considered dal adal. V'ha amra Rabbi Yochanan hadazimna. Didn't we already say this above? Why Rabbi Yochanan teach the same exact din twice? So Gemara explains that mal the same. What would you have thought? Hani mili hecha de'ach shavei hu liyade. Maybe it's only true when the person made it. He had in mind for it to be a yad. He wanted it to be dal adal. Aval hecha de'lo ach shavei hu liyade emalav. But when the guy didn't anticipate it, he didn't want. The hand to be like dalad dalad, maybe it wouldn't work. Kamash v'lan, that regardless of the guy's kavana, the yad shel adam is always considered dalad al dalad. So Amar Rabbi Yavin, Amar Rabbi Yelai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar v'mkomo v'kiba. A guy stands in place and he catches it. The receiver just stays like a statue, and the quarterback throws it mamish into his hand. Chayv the zorik is chayv. Alkar v'mkomo, if the receiver gets up and he's chasing down the football, v'kiba and catch it, then he's potter because although the quarterback did the akira, the receiver did the hanach. So Tani and Amihach, the Raisa says the same thing. Achem omim amad bimkomo v'kibol chayv, akam bimkomo v'kibol pater. Asks Gemara now, boy Rabbi Yochanan, zark chayvet v'nekar hu bimkomo v'chazer v'kiblo ma'al. Let's say the quarterback threw it, and then he went down to chase it, and he caught his own ball. So ma'al, what's the din there? Would that be considered as if it's only a kira, even though the same person's doing it, that since he moved, we view them as a kira and hanacha being separate, or it's the same person, it's a kira hanacha by the same person, it should be a chiyav hatzah. So my kimo b'ayle, what's the shayla here? So Amar Ba'ad, the Bar'ava, Shnei Kochos Ba'adam Echad, Kami Ba'ale. We're asking, when the two Kochos, when a person performs two different actions, and one person though, can we combine that together? So Shnei Kochos Ba'adam Echad, Kadam Echad Ami, V'chayim, two Kochos, two actions, the throwing, and then the act of receiving is considered one action because it's one person. Odilma Kishnei Bnei Adam Dami, or perhaps it's considered like two people did it, and Pater, it would be a kir by person one, and a hanacha by person two. Take with the Gemara ends off, we don't know the answer. Last seven lines, the six lines of the Amud here, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, have chichnis yadu latoch chatzir chaveiro. A person puts his hand into his friend's courtyard, the kibel meg shamim, he catches some water, v'hotzi, he chayv, and he takes it out, he's chayv. So this is the din. So Gemara says that maskula Rabbi Zeira mali hitinu chaveiro mali hitinu shemayim. So what's the difference whether a person, we have the din, if someone else, loaded my back, someone else, the din is he's pater, because I didn't do the akira, he did the akira. So here as well, when the rain came, the rain did the akira. Why I be high for carrying from one rishis to another rishis? I only did the hanacha, moving it somewhere else, but the akira is done by Shemayim. Who cares whether the kodesh baruch put rain in my hand, or my friend put rain in my hand, or objects in my hand? I didn't do the akira. So the Gemara says again, "Mali yatinu chaver, mali yatinu shemayim." So he who lo kavet akira, that either way, I didn't do the akira. Is either my friend did the akira onto my back, or Hakadosh Baruch Hu did the akira into my hands? So Gemara says, "Lo tame akibel ela kala." He didn't catch it. He didn't just put his hand and let the water come in. Kila means he scooped it up. He scraped up the water. It was coming down. He did an action. He did an akira. Gemara says, "Vabayin an akira mial gavi makum ar bavaleka." But don't you need to be collate the water from a place that's dala dala? You can't be collate in the middle of the air. It has to fall on something and do an akira from there. So Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yechia Barei Derav Huna Kigon Shekilat Me Agave Akoso." So it was on the wall. There was rain coming down the wall, and he scooped it up from the wall. So that's a situation where he scooped it from the wall. So Gemara says, and the wall is dala amos dala tfachim. It's high enough. Gemara says, but Agave Akoso Nami V'Halonach. But if it's dripping down the wall, it never stopped. It was still, you have to pick it up from a place where it rested. As it's dripping down the wall, it's not resting there. So, Kedamar Rava Bekosa Meshupa. Hachnai Bekosa Meshupa. In a different context, Rava said we're talking about a slanted wall. Here as well, it's a slanted wall, where when it's coming down slanted, even though it's not totally stationary, but it's slow, as opposed to being a complete vertical, it's a slanted wall. So I'm calling it from the slanted wall. That's considered to be Makum Dal Adal. Where Rava says initial chiddush of kosa meshupa, the hadatan, the following mishnah, going on to hey heman beis hayakori b'sefer askipo, a person is askipo, a person's reading a sefer on the on a skopa, which it's some type of area, I don't know, a front entrance of some sort, and v'niskalgal sefer miyado, then he started to lose the scroll, started to unravel. Goles, so he's able to roll it back to get to him. There's no issues there. But let's say Karbaro Shagag, he's reading on the rooftop. And then the scroll begins to unravel into Rosh Hashanah. If it didn't fall within 10 Tvachim of Rosh Hashanah, we know Rosh Hashanah only extends 10 Tvachim above. So it didn't reach that threshold yet. It's still above the Rosh Hashanah. So the din is very simple. Then Golo Etzel, you could just roll it back up to where you are. But if it gets so low, it gets within the 10 tefachim of the ground, then you flip it over on the ksav, because you can't roll it back, because then you're going to bring an object from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah, so you have nothing to do. So you have to just turn over and leave it as is. Now, why do you turn it over? Just as a side point, Rashi says, you have to flip it over because it's a bizarre to leave with the letters up. So actually, today's daffin practice is on this topic here, that the person, ideally, if a sefer is open, a person is not supposed to leave his house with the sefer open, so you can either close the sefer or you cover it up. That's really the best thing, to cover it up or close it. But this situation is a case where he couldn't cover it up. There's nothing to cover it up, so the last resort is better to turn it on its face than to leave it wide open. But if a person has another option to close the sefer to cover it, it's not the ideal way to take a sefer open and flip it on its face on the table. Either way, what's the relevance to our discussion? So Gemara says, why do we say to flip over the sefer or the scroll onto its face? It never rested, it's continuing to roll. So Gemara says, because if it never stops, you can roll back up, because if it's moving, the only time there's an akira hanacha, you could only do an akira from an object that already has become stationary. So if it's become stationary, then an akira hanacha will be relevant. But if the scroll is continuing to go down, just roll back up. Who cares? It's still moving, as long as there's never a hanacha. And the Gemara says, Amarava, Bikosa Meshupa. It's talking about a slanted wall. It's going down the slanted roll, the wall. And even though it is continuing to go down, but since it's not going at the same pace, it's being slowed down by the friction of the wall, that's considered a hanacha b'miktas. And if one were to do an akira by trying to roll it back up, that would be an akira mimakum dalad al dalad. So Gemara says, Amar, this makes sense, Damarava b'sefer, David Dinayach. So I understand by a sefer, so if the sefer is going down, a scroll is going down the wall, so that's considered hanacha, because David Dinayach, it's eventually going to stop unraveling. But Mayim, mi David Dinayach, but water, rain, that's dripping down the coast of Meshupa, that's not going to stop, that's going down and down. There's no hanacha. Yes, it's slower when the rain drips down a slanted wall than if it were to drip down a vertical wall, but still, it's going down that that slanted wall. There's no hanacha to even speak of it. So the Gemara says, El Amar Rava, what's a case where a person scooped up rain and brought from one rishus to the other rishus? El Amar Rava, you go and shekile mi agave goma, guma. Tell me a situation where he scooped the rainwater out of a hole. The water fell into a hole, and he picked up the water from the hole. So Gemara says, guma pshitalu. Of course, if the rain stopped it was building up in a ditch. Of course, if you scoop it up, that's akira, because the rain stopped in the ditch. It was a hanacha there. What's the chiddush? Gemara says, the same amayim agavi mayim lav hanachu. When water falls on top of water, that's not considered hanacha. The water is always moving around. It's not resting. You put a ball down, the ball stops. Water, there's always movement. It usually moves this way and that way. So one would have thought mayim that falls on top of other mayim. If water were to fall on the flat ground, so that water, that first layer of the puddle, it's hanachu. But water that, the second layer that of water that falls on top of already existing water, maybe that's not considered hanachu. Kamashlon, that is considered hanachu. Vaz the Rava l'tameh, Rava goes l'shitaso, tameh Rava mayim agavi mayim havinan hanachasam. Water on top of water is considered hanachu. Egos agavi mayim, lav hainu hanachasam. When it comes to a walnut of some sort, a nut, on top of water, the din is, that is not considered hanacha, because the ego is always floating around, so one who is ochre, that ego is from the mime, would not be considered, would not be chai, because it wasn't ochre, mimokum hanachas. The Gemara asks the question, by Rava, egos the kli, that you have a nut in a kli, the kli tzafa gabi mime, and now the kli is floating on top of the water. So there's a nut, there's a kli, and then there's water. So the question he had here, baser egos as linan v'hanayach, do we say, you go based on the nut, and the nut, relative to the kli, it's stationary. It's in the kli, it's not moving. Oh, do you look at Dilma Basar kli as linan, v'halonayach, or do you look at it with respect to the kli, and the kli is floating in the water back and forth, so in which case there is no hanacha. Denied, it's moving. Take with the Gemara doesn't know. So again, if a person uproots a nut from a water, that's pater, because the water, the nut's floating around the water. But the nut's on the kli, and the kli's in the water, so legabe the kli, the nut is considered stationary. But legabe the mayim, it's not considered stationary, so the Gemara ends off in the take. What about shemen shetzaf agave yayim? Wine that floats on top of, oil that floats on top of wine, is that considered rested or not rested? Machlok is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbanim. The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches, this is in Maseches Erevin, the Tanan shemen shetzaf agave yayin, oil that's floating on top of wine, the noga tivel yom b'shemen, the person who's tame, the tivel yom who's tame but hasn't gone yet, he went to the mikvah but hasn't yet had harav shemesh, didn't experience a sunset yet, so he's called a tivel yom, and he's matame things. If he's matame, if he touches the shemen, so b'shemen lo pasal el shemen bilvad. When he touches the oil, we don't view the oil as being connected to the wine, only the oil is pasal, but the wine that's below it is remains kosher. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Shneim and the Chubarim Zelazeh. We view them as being connected to each other. In which case, he's tamei the oil. He's going to be tamei the wine as well. So whether they're separate or not is the same question. Water and water. We said water on top of water is considered rested. So if shemen and yain is considered Chubarim Zelazeh, then the shemen is considered a hanacha. But if you view them differently by the very fact that if you were tamei shemen, you're not tamei the wine, then they're considered separate, and the oil is viewed as floating and moving on top of the water. So I'm Rabbi Ab, I'm Rabbi Eli, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Hayat Tarn, Ochlin, Me'ashkim, and V'nichas, V'yotze, Kol Yom Kula. A person now is busy schlepping food and water, and he's going in and out all day long, Einu Chayv Ad Sheyamod, he's not chayv until he actually stops. Now the situation here is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that he was, it's a situation of, he's carrying it from already before Shabbos, I believe. One second here. So this is a regular case. He's busy moving in and out. It's on Shabbos. He's schlepping in and out, but he doesn't do a hanacha. He's moving here, there, until there's actually an amida where he actually stops and does a hanacha. You're not chayav. So Amar Abai says, what type of amida is that? Hu she'amar lafush. It's only amar lafush. What does amar lafush mean? So Rashi explains three wide lines down. Hu omid she'amar lafush lanuach. He takes a rest. Hahi havya amida v'akira debaser havya kira. Let's backtrack. It was a case of Shabbos. Rashi explains how you ton ochlin mashkin. Let me backtrack for a second. I'm sorry. The guy's carrying food and water. Mash v'shlo tonu l'chach. He wasn't initially schlepping the food to bring it outside. He planned to move it from one corner of his house to another corner of the house. But as he started carrying it, he said, you know what? He changed his mind. He decided to bring it outside. Since the initial Akira was not with the intent to bring it outside, that Akira is worthless. It's not considered an Akira for Hotzah purposes. So now, even though he stops at some other point, there's no Akira, so the Anacha is worthless. But if he does an Amida, he does an Anacha, then he continues to walk. Then the next Akira, the second Akira, will be an Akira and followed by another Hanacha. But that Amida that ended the initial Akira and that begins the upcoming Akira, has to be an Amida, says Abai, where he's Amr Lafush. We took a little break, he's resting, that's called a Hanacha. So Gemara is in Mimai. How do you know this? Midamar Mar, Toch Dal Amos, Amr Lafush, Potter. If a guy, in order to be Chayv Dal Amos and Rosh Hashanah, you have to have four Amos walking consecutive. The guy walks two Amos, and then he takes a break, Lafush, and then another two Amos, that's considered broken up, you're not Chayiv in that case. But if the guy, Amr Lafush, Pater, if it's a Kasef, if he comes just to adjust it, not the rest, but just to adjust the package, Chayiv, that's considered continuous. The guy walks Chutla Dal Amos, Amr Lafush, he goes out, out of Dal Amos, Chayiv, he's Chayiv in that case, because he rested, he walked Dal Amos, did a Hanacha, so that's called, he's Chayiv. But if the guy walked more than Dal Amos, and then Lakasiv, and then he comes just to adjust it, that adjusting isn't called a Hanacha, so he's still Pater, until there's a full Hanacha, he's not Chayiv. So Gemara says, "My Kamash Shalom, what's the Chiddush here? Shlo Ha'isa Akira Mishan Rishon L'chach." So the whole Chiddush, what's the underlying point here? Since the initial Akira, when the guy was carrying the food and the water that we started off with, wasn't with the intention of walking somewhere else, it was only staying in the house, so that first Akira was not called an Akira. But Ha'amr Rabbi Yochanan Chada Zimna. Rabbi Yochanan taught this once before. What did he teach us? The Amr Rav Safra, Amr Rabbi Ami, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Amavir Chafetz Mizavis Lazavis. A guy schlepping within his house from one corner to the next corner. Nothing wrong with that. But Vanimlachalim. But then he decides that he picks up one. He says, you know what? He takes him outside. He's Pater. Why? Shiloh Ha'isa Kira Misha Rishon Lachach. His initial Kira wasn't with the intent of taking it outside. So how come we have Rabbi Yochanan teaching us the same thing? So Gemara says Amarahi Ninu. There are two Amarahim, two is Tamidim. Mar Amarle Behailishna, Mar Amarle Behailishna. Some one presented in this way, the other presented in a different way. Okay, we will stop here. Everyone have a Freilich and Shusha Berman. Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue with this tomorrow.